Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Pete McMurray, Jane Manzouris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's that time of year when people drink champagne over the holidays. From Dom Perignon and Moët Chandon.
Moët and Chandon.
Moët and Chandon. It's Peggy Lanigan. I knew I was going to screw that up. Peggy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Can you say them properly so Pete can say them properly?
He did.
Wait, let me try it again. Dom Perignon.
Dom Perignon.
Okay.
Moët and Chandon.
Moët and Chandon.
Yes, you definitely pronounce the T for Moët.
Do you notice Moët. I do the heavy voice?
Because a lot of people like to say Moët.
Correct.
But it's not Moët.
Moët.
No, Moët is actually a Flemish name.
Oh.
So Claude Moët, who was our founder, he ended up coming to France, and his great-granddaughter married into the Chandon family.
Oh, so that's why it's Moët and Chandon.
Yes.
And Chandon is hard for me to say.
Oh, you're doing a
Chandon.
Beautiful.
Chandon.
Why is that
Chandon
so hard?
I feel like this is just a lesson in how to pronounce the words of champagne.
So Jane mentioned this earlier. It's not champagne unless it's from Champagne, France.
That is correct. There is a region in France called Champagne, and there is a ruling body called the AOC, who it's very regulated how champagne is made. So sparkling wine that comes from California or Italy or Spain is not champagne.
Like Prosecco is
Italian. Sparkling.
And Cava?
Spanish sparkling.
And those are all sparkling wines. But
correct.
When you say, I'm bringing a gift of champagne, it better be from the Champagne region
that
of France.
That is correct. That is correct.
Right. And those and the regions are made up of... Because I went there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with Moët Hennessy. It was 10 years ago,
by the way. I remember
that.
You need another trip.
I do need another trip. It was eye-opening for me because I learned so much about champagne. And then I was on this whole big champagne kick. I still am, by the way. But I realized that the names are Epernay, right?
That's a city.
That's
yes.
a city inside one of the in the Champagne region.
Correct.
And then Reims.
Yes, also in Champagne.
But it's spelled R-E-I-M-S. Mm-hmm. And then you want to say Reims.
You did it very well.
I did.
Yes. Very good.
Thank you. And that's all I've learned. I'm out.
Well, most people don't know good champagne from bad champagne. How do we know the difference?
Well, generally speaking, I mean, the Champagne France produces amazing wine. So you first want to make sure that your champagne is actual champagne.
Right.
And then also you want to make sure, like a house like Dom Perignon and Moët and Chandon has a great reputation. We've been around for hundreds of years. We have access to the best cru in Champagne. Cru are the villages where the grapes come from. So you know that you're getting a quality product from the larger house names.
Gotcha.
Not that some of the growers can produce some amazing wines, but in Champagne, it's very difficult to grow grapes. To grow good grapes. So Moët and Chandon has the largest estate in Champagne. So we own the most vineyards. We have the most contracts with the most growers. So we have the best pick of the grapes of Champagne each year.
So sparkling wine, you want to stay away from that?
And no, not necessarily. There's some beautiful sparkling wines from California. Like we actually have Chandon in California, which produces a sparkling wine that's beautiful.
Okay.
All I'm saying is if someone says, oh, this is Champagne, it needs to be from Champagne, France.
And just like as there would be some beautiful Proseccos and beautiful Cavas.
Sure. Okay.
So I think we would just say it's about the bubbles, right?
Right.
So if you're going to be drinking bubbles this time of year, not only for during the Christmas season, but also especially for New Year's, people are out there wanting to buy their bubbles. What are we looking for? I mean, the first thing, and number one, if you're going to buy champagne, you look for champagne, right?
Of course.
But if you want to buy bubbles, what are we looking for?
Well, I think... You know, I think certainly it depends on what your budget is and what you're trying to celebrate. For me, I only drink champagne, and I think you should only drink champagne, of course.
I try. I do. I really do try.
But it's, you know, there's some great options out on the market. Again, like Chandon that we have is very affordable, very inexpensive, and it's a really fun drink. So, you know, you're looking for aesthetics. You're looking for based on what your budget is and how you're going to use it. If you're going to pair an entire meal with it, I would definitely look for a good champagne or multiple marks of a champagne that you can use throughout a whole meal.
If people are having a dinner party around New Year's Eve or around the holidays, can you drink champagne with steak?
Absolutely. We do all champagne dinners all the time, from appetizers to dessert. So it really depends on the type of champagne that you're drinking. So Moët Imperial, which is the flagship of the house, that pairs well with sushi or scallops or oysters, kind of lighter, whiter meats.
Oh.
And then if we have a vintage rosé champagne that can, with a lot of Pinot Noir in it, it can stand up to a steak or to lamb or anything like that as well. So it really kind of depends on the wine. I will say Brut champagnes, dry champagnes, don't pair very well with sweet. So the notion of champagne and chocolate isn't always very good, depending on
Is there a sweet champagne that would go well with
sure.
sweets?
Sure. Moët has two, what are called demi-sec. They're quite sweet. Nectar Blanc and Nectar Imperial Rosé, those go very well with sweet.
And explain what a Blanc de Blanc is.
So that is champagne made from just Chardonnay. So that's made just from the white grape. Chardonnay is a white grape. Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier, which are two other grapes used in champagne, are black grapes from which they extract white juice.
I am such a hillbilly. I had no idea that there was heavy champagnes and light champagnes to go with certain foods, but it does make sense because that's how wine is.
Sure, and it also depends on the aging process, aging term of the champagne as well. Some of our champagnes have aged for 2 years, and some of our champagnes have aged for 25-plus years for Dom Perignon.
When you're looking to buy the champagne, that's kind of what I was curious about. Do we want to buy it on a vintage? Like, should I go to the store right now and buy a 2018 bottle of champagne?
You can't.
Yeah, okay.
So, for Dom Perignon, our newest release is vintage 2008. And for Moët and Chandon, our newest release is vintage 2009.
Wait a minute. The vintage that's being released right now was being harvested when I was there.
2008?
Yeah.
And it is the most incredible wine you will taste. It's amazing.
Is that why Dom is so expensive?
It's
because
the best of the
best. Worth it.
And the extended aging in the cellars. So our champagnes, Dom Perignon, ages for a minimum of 6 to 8 years for our regular vintage champagne. And then we have what's called P3, Plenitude 3, that ages for 25 plus years. In the cellars.
Wow.
You know, when I was there,
no idea.
We would go into the cellars, and this maybe wasn't maybe at Dom Perignon, or maybe it wasn't at Moët, but we went into a bunch of cellars. They're in really old aged wines. Like, there is cobwebs on these bottles, and they're just covered in dust. And you've got the Riddler down there, like, turning the bottles so that they have some sort of motion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still turn them after 25 years?
Oh, you do when you're getting ready to disgorge them. Which is when you're taking the lees, the yeast out of the bottle.
Okay.
Lees is L-E-E-S. You're taking that out of the bottle. So yes, you do riddle it to get all the lees to fall to the neck of the bottle, the champagne, to take that out. But Moët and Chandon and Dom Perignon are housed in the same caves, and we have 18 miles of caves under the streets of Epernay.
It's like Swiss cheese down there.
It's amazing.
What? It is a great trip. If anyone out there wants to, maybe Steve Bertrand can do a travel trip there. He might have already done one. But go to the Champagne region, because it's like, oh, it's like Swiss cheese underneath the ground.
And it's only 90 miles from Paris. Perfect train trip. You can do a day trip.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I noticed that you brought in, they look like wine glasses, not champagne glasses.
Pete, you are so observant.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, thank you, Peggy. Appreciate that.
So we actually only serve our wines in white wine glasses or Pinot Noir glasses as well, because flutes, while they're aesthetically pleasing, they're not very easy to drink out of, and you can't swirl the wine. You can't stick your nose in the glass and really
get
the aroma.
So you still swirl the champagne?
Yes. Yes.
Champagne, Jane, do you do that? You're a champagne drinker.
I'm popping a cork.
Pop it.
That was it?
Well, professional. You know.
Oh, yeah. She's done this before.
So, yeah. And one of the things people, they want that cork to pop, but
that's
I feel
fine.
Like then you're like losing all the champagne because it bubbles out the top.
No, that's fine. It actually changes the mood of any room that you're in when
everybody's
you hear a champagne
happy.
Cork pop.
Everybody's happy. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk to our next guest is a rock star, apparently.
If you are a fan of champagne, our next guest is the biggest celebrity of champagne chefs in the world.
Got it. And before I
and
go
he's in France.
Before we go into a break, Peggy Lanigan, I also know you from Shred 415 because we run next to each other.
Yes, our favorite workout.
I mean, I met you 20 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we grew up and suddenly we reconnected at Shred.
Yes. Best workout in the city.
It is.
I love that. I go to Shred, South Loop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay. It's nice.
We like Shred. We like champagne. I mean, it's, what's bad about today right now?
Perfect.
Peggy, what's your website people can check out?
MoetUSA.com and DomPerignon.com.
And you'll stick around, too, with Freddie on the phone.
I will. Yes.
Perfect.
I'd be happy to.
All right. We're talking champagne at 720 WGN. We're talking champagne in studio with us is Peggy Lanigan from Dom Perignon and Moët Chandon. Moët and Chandon.
Yes.
Yes. And Jane, you have a very special guest on the phone.
I have a great friend of mine and a celebrity in the world of champagne. He's calling us all the way from the Champagne region of France. He is the chef de cave of Rouennart, is Frédéric Paniotis. Or I like to call him Freddy P. Hi, Freddy.
Hey, bonjour, Jeanne.
Bonjour, Freddy. I'm good. How are you? How's France today?
France is magnificent. It was a sunny day. You know, it looks pretty. Reims looks pretty. There's a sparkler in everybody's eye. We are ready for the big Christmas celebration with a lot of champagne. Cheers.
So, how about that?
Yeah. Freddie, let's talk bubbles. You travel the world tasting and explaining champagne. You got to have this great nose to do that. Like, how did you get involved in this business of champagne making?
I was born and raised in the region, and when I was younger, I used to harvest at my grandparents' vineyard, but I wasn't sure I would, turn it into a job. And then one day, I had an amazing wine served at lunch, and it was not champagne. It was actually a red Burgundy by my uncle. And this sparkled, I could say that, sparkled a little thing in me, and I wanted to become a winemaker. And then I studied the field of agronomy and then specialized in winemaking and viticulture.
So after studying this for years, you now have a nose, what they call a nose for champagne. So you know good champagne.
I hope I do, because right. That's what I'm making for a living, and so I hope Bruinard stands up to its reputation. But yes, you become specialized. It's not only about the nose; it's also about the palate. Because when you blend the wines, and that's one of our main mission, you have to work on both, the aromatics, but also the mouthfeel, which is very, very important for champagne. And there's, of course, all the understanding of what's going on in a vineyard, what's going on during the winemaking process, during the harvest, and the aging as well. So it's more than just the nose. There's also a lot of technique, a lot of science that you need to master. But there's also, of course, that intuition, those expertise in tasting the wines to blend them.
Now, boy, Freddie, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And the thing, I think, as the chef de cave, which is the very sexy French term for what you do, it's the champagne chef. So the head winemaker, your job is to make sure that the wine stays consistent year after year after year after year. So you don't want a different recipe. You want, say, Ruinart Blanc de Blanc to taste familiar. Is that right?
Yeah, It's exactly right. And what's interesting about this job is that even though we are quite often for what we call the non-vintage champagne, which you explained before, we want to reproduce that taste year after year, yet the harvest may be completely different in quantity and in quality. Champagne is still a difficult region to grow grapes, even though the global warming, is kind of helping us at the moment. We're having better and better vintages, I would say. But anyway, there are some differences. And yet the product needs to be pretty much the same year after year. So imagine you would have to make the same concert or produce the same music with different instruments. And for the people listening, it would have to sound the same. Well, this is what we try to do with the taste. But it's very cool. We love it.
Isn't it fascinating?
You don't think about that, but yes. I mean, the taste remains the same, but there are different grapes every single year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're a little bit different every year. They're not radically different usually, but there are some significant differences in our...
Sure.
And our job is to tame those differences and make it look like very consistent from one year to another.
And Freddie, what I love the best is when we met 10 years ago in Reims or mm-hmm. Epernay, I can't remember which town we were in.
In Reims,
yeah. I don't say it right. Now I'm embarrassed myself.
I had to correct it.
But now this 2018 or the 2008 vintage is what people are drinking.
Yeah, exactly. It takes quite a bit. I joined Ruinart in 2007 and was lucky enough to have a good harvest that year for Chardonnay, that is. And with my team, we decided to make a Dom Ruinart, which is our prestige cuvée. You heard about Dom Pérignon before, but we also have a Monk at Ruinart, and we call it our prestige cuvée Dom Ruinart. Anyway, we made it in 2007, and it's just being released now. So it took 11 years before I saw this magical, this great champagne coming out of the cellar. So it takes a long time. You have to be, you have to plan ahead, really ahead.
That's pretty impressive. And Peggy, you're shaking your head. Yes, you want to say hi to Freddie?
Hi, Freddie. How are you?
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Peggy is here, and she just poured a champagne in the big wine glasses. The flutes are out. We're doing it wrong here.
No, you're doing it perfect. This is the new, not the new trend, but for quite a number of years, we've swapped our flutes to more wine glasses, and you don't have to go fully extreme. It really depends on the champagne you're drinking. If it's a vintage champagne, or if it's maybe an older non-vintage champagne, then it's probably worth it to have like a wine glass. But if you stick to like non-vintage champagne or blanc de blanc, like a white wine glass would do the job perfectly.
Okay.
And the flutes are a bit too narrow. You cannot smell into them. They might be cute, but they're not very efficient to deliver the best of what's in the bottle.
So the flutes are out. The white wine glasses.
White wine glasses are in.
What about that really big, sort of a flat bottom glass?
Coupe.
A coupe.
A coupe.
The coupe?
Yeah.
Those are great for ice cream. They're fantastic for ice cream.
I love it.
And Freddie, give us your best piece of advice because we probably have people listening that are experts in wine and champagne and they love this and they know who you are. And then we also have people that, like, I didn't even know I had to get champagne.
I had
France,
no idea.
Like Pete.
Right.
They need champagne 101. What is your best piece of advice when going to the store to buy champagne?
I would say if it's the store that you have, that you really trust, that you have somebody who is there, like a fine wine store, ask the person in charge, ask the owner, because he will know, he will try to understand your taste, he will try to understand what the occasion is, if you want to serve it with food and what kind of food, and then he will probably give you the best advice. So this is a cool way to do it. If it's a store where there's no one and you have to make your own pick, then it's a bit more, it can be more tricky. If you don't want to take any chance, then stick to the main brands. I think they are, you know, like, okay, there's, we talk about Moët, we talk about Perignon, we talk about Ruinart, but there are a few other ones as well. There are many other ones. And they are known to be consistent. And then if you want to learn about the style of each, then that might take a little bit more time.
Wow.
But that would be, there's a lot of brands available. There's a lot of labels available. But let's say if you want to drink champagne for more like an aperitif, which I think it's still 90% of the way it's consumed. Blanc de Blanc is a very good alternative because Blanc de Blanc is a lighter style. It's made from Chardonnay grapes, and it has that freshness, that delicacy, that it what it does, and I think champagne is magical for that. It brings up or it increases your appetite, and when you are going to have dinner after or lunch after, this is the mood in which you want to be. It gives you energy, it puts you in the right mood, but also it's sort of
it gives you a nice little buzz. Yes,
I can't even make it to a radio spot.
Well, you know, gentle buzz, and then it makes you hungry. this is how you want to be. This is how you want to be before you start eating. You want to be hungry, and then your senses are 120% up, and then you're having a great time.
And Freddie, before you go, you love this city for champagne. Chicago is a good city for you.
Chicago is an amazing city. There's actually, it's a very good market for champagne. Ruinart was in Chicago for a long, 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 long time. And we love the city. You know, the winters are harsh, so it's a great opportunity to be stay at home and drink some champagne.
Right.
But then when the summer is there, you want to be out, you want to be at the lake and enjoy it outside. So yeah, it's a perfect city. And there are some amazing wine bars. I've had some amazing time in different places. So Chicago, and you have also some amazing restaurants. So this is a destination.
If you come to visit, you said maybe spring, we'll have you in studio. That'd be great. We'll taste champagne together.
Jane, I promise that I will be in Chicago in April this year.
Perfect. April. We'll have you in. Thank you, Freddie.
We need a school, Pete.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Drink well in moderation, but drink the good stuff and enjoy.
Drink the
good
Freddie.
Stuff.
So he's a rock star.
He is
the guy.
I mean, Peggy, wouldn't you say he's got a really big following as a champagne chef?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a chef de cave is the ultimate in terms of winemaking.
That's right. The biggest.
And Ruinart is like one of the oldest champagne houses.
It is. 1750.
1750. Mm-hmm. And he's the guy that's in charge of what you're drinking and what you're tasting. So when you go to the store and you see Ruinart, then you know, like, yes. Oh, we heard from the guy that made it.
And Peggy, before you go, what did you serve us here? What do we have?
Moët Rosé Imperial.
It's very,
one of my favorites.
It's very light.
It's lovely.
It's a light champagne.
I love it. I mean, I had one sip and I couldn't get through a commercial read, so I'm going to...
I notice it's not sweet. People think that rosé champagnes are kind of fluffy and not serious, but that is a brut dry champagne that pairs beautifully with food.
I love it. Really.
Thank you.
Peggy Lane.
I love it too. I can drink champagne all day long.
Thanks for coming in.
I hope you do.
I will.
You should.
Give the websites again. People can check it out.
MoetUSA.com and DomPerignon.com.
And I'll see you at Shred 415.
Sounds great.
All right.
Thank you.
720 WGN.